I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ooh, that was an ugly win, but it was beautiful.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an emergency Clipcast. I can barely speak because I was screaming my face off as the Clippers beat the top of the Eastern Conference Celtics in a thrilling overtime match. I mean, I literally can barely speak. Hank is in here. I got special guest co-host Farbod, a.k.a. Forbesbod, Farbod S. Nashari, on the show in a little bit. I go in the locker room with Mo Harkless, Mosif H. Buckets. The H stands for hustle, heart, and Harkless. But most importantly, even more important than Farbod and Mo Buckets, Mosif Buckets, is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the big show, premiering under the bright lights tonight for the first time ever in Clippers uniforms, and they get the W. I got to just go right in to the greatest thing you'll ever hear, Kawhi Leonard describing the thrilling dunk over, I don't know, Thice, whatever his name is, on the C's Celtics, who, congratulations, Thice, you're now on a poster. You're now on a poster. I can't even speak, guys. But listen to the way Kawhi Leonard describes the dunk over Thice, and then the block on Kemba Walker's would-be tie it up to send into double overtime three ball. Let's listen to Kawhi Leonard being Kawhi Leonard in the most Kawhi Leonard way, describing the dunk and describing the block. Take it away, Kawhi.
What do you want me to say? Patrick threw me the ball. I took two dribbles to the paint and tried to jump high and dunk the basketball. And Kemba got it open for a three, and I jumped my highest to try to contest, and I got a block.
He got the game-winning block. He won it with defense. That was amazing. That was classic Kawhi being Kawhi. I think we should go to a little bit of Farbod now, my guest co-host on this emergency Clipcast, the overtime W. We play great teams, and we beat them, unlike the other squad. That's another time for another day. We beat the top two teams in the West. Let me just go to Farbod. You know him, you love him. He's my guest co-host. And this was actually kind of cool. We started in the bowels of Staples Center, and then we actually walked to a very special area to do our emergency Clipcast. Take a listen.
Baby!
I'm here with Farbod S. Nashari.
It is me.
Right? Respect on the name pronunciation, right?
Correct, Pops.
Okay, thank you, son. Oh, great. That's great. Yeah, that's great. That's the sound of the horn. Wow. All right, I'm here with Farbod S. Nashari. Want to go out here?
Yeah, you think it'll be quieter?
Or yeah, probably. 100%. Yeah. All right. This is kind of cool, listeners. Farbod and I are walking into the empty arena that is being gutted. They're not pulling off the floor. Who plays next, the Kings or the L-Word? L-Word's on the road.
Kings.
Kings tomorrow?
Yeah, Kings.
The ice is beneath our feet somewhere.
I thought it was nippy.
Should we go on the floor and do it?
Yeah, might as well.
Dude, oh, this is great. I think this is my first Clipcast interview on the floor.
It's called Courtcast now.
We did. Hank and I did do a courtside episode where we did a segment in our seats courtside. That's a story I want to tell you off the air, by the way.
On Twitter or whatever it was.
I'll tell you that off the air, or maybe on the air, because Hank's not on this episode. Anyway, you and Cub reporter Avicii Zubac had the scoop about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George playing together for the first time tonight. You broke that story with Cub reporter.
I tried to.
Zubac. You did. You tweeted it first.
I mean,
am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I even, like, literally, bro CD, went and checked the timestamp on everyone's tweets. You broke the story. I quoted your quote or something a couple minutes later and did not break the story. And then, like, 2 hours later, Woj breaks the story.
I did have a lot of people comment say far bomb, and I was like,
yes, it was a far bomb.
I was like, that's a cool name, just let's not use that permanently.
Exactly. Yeah. It's too close to fart bomb. All right, so tell me about that experience. It happened at the Honey Training Center, right?
Well, I actually wasn't there.
No. So how? Talk to me.
So I saw Jovan's tweet, and it kind of...
Go center court. Center court on the Clippers logo.
I mean, I saw Jovan's tweet, and okay. I kind of...
So you saw Jovan's tweet about what Ivica said at the Honey Training Center
thing. I immediately contacted a couple of my sources to figure out, like, what's going on.
Right.
And then they confirmed with me he's playing and that he wasn't supposed to say that.
Amazing. But that happens.
Yes. And what I think what was supposed to happen, this could be off the record, whatever, I don't know. I think Ohm was supposed to break the story from ESPN because he had that piece.
Part of the plan.
Yeah, he had that piece in the morning with PG saying he was going to go to the Spurs.
But Cub reporter Ivica Zubac or Zubach,
yes,
broke the story.
Correct. And I think after that happened, I think everything was just like, okay, I guess it's on.
The world knows.
And so I immediately, I'm sitting at work on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, we need to solve this now. Like,
it was awesome. Congratulations, huge scoop. I read the Jovan Buha tweet from Ivica, and I literally just removed the quote from Zubac that said, I think it was they'll play tonight or we'll see tonight.
I'm excited.
Whatever he said tonight, and I was just like, boom. According to Ivica Zubac, it's happening, and just went with it. And we were right. You were right. I was right. The world was right. So what'd you think about? Obviously, there was some rust flakes.
I mean, defensively, they were pretty nuts.
Oh my god!
In the whole first half,
and
I think
Kawhi won it with defense.
They held the Celtics to 1 out of 18 from three. I mean, they didn't hit a three until midway in the second quarter.
Right.
And I was like, if these guys were half as good as they were offensively as they are defensively, they'd be up by like 20 points.
100%.
So I think offense is okay because you have two guys that average 30 points a game, 28 points a game, so you don't have to be scared offensively. The fact that they're good already defensively is a bigger deal because that takes way more time than just shots falling.
Absolutely. And they will fall, and they did for Pat Beverly, which was huge.
And it was a tough test. Like, I think if they weren't facing Boston and they were facing Atlanta or something in that first game back together, we probably would have seen a much better offensive game. But the fact that they won tonight is kind of all that matters.
Top two teams, I believe, in the league record-wise are Boston and the L-Word, and we beat both of them.
Correct.
And I don't think the L-Word has seen any of, like, the top – certainly not the top
just,
three,
like,
top
Utah,
six.
Utah, I think, but, like, it was when Utah was struggling.
Yeah.
And it's never on the second night of a back-to-back or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think they've really beat anybody in the top eight, but whatever. It's not L-Word cast. It's Clipcast. So how did you think the home crowd did tonight? I always ask this question because it irritates me when we play Boston, when we play New York, when we play Oakland or San Francisco, rather, and when we play the L-Word.
I thought the Celtics fans in the crowd were louder, pretty much most.
But they were less.
Yeah, they were less.
They were less, but louder.
They're louder, but Clipper fans are more passive a lot of times.
Especially early.
But then in the final 6 minutes of the game, everything just went bonkers, and they outmatched the Celtics fans by like a wide margin.
Well, huge margin.
And so I think it was like the game was just kind of asleep because
oh my gosh,
because
it was
turnover,
kind of boring.
turnover. At one point, to close the first half, the Clippers had 6 turnovers in 7 possessions.
Oh, it's brutal.
6 turnovers in 7 possessions, five in a row.
We saw Kawhi turn the ball over a ton. We saw Paul George turn.
Yeah.
That's going to go away.
And so,
such a surreal thing to see the NBA basket at like 3 feet right now.
I can dunk now.
We just need a ball. It would actually hurt my waist to bend down to dunk.
Oh, and I can lift you.
All right, so I'm going to play the clip of Kawhi Leonard describing the dunk. I want you to describe Kawhi Leonard, your reaction to Kawhi Leonard's description of him posterizing Thice or whatever his name is.
I thought he did the Prince face from Chappelle's Show.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, did he just hang on the rim and stare blankly like Prince from Chappelle's Show? And I had Corey McGinnity next to me. I was like, Corey, did he just do the Prince face? And he's just like, I think he did.
Right.
I was like,
somebody tweeted out game blouses or something like that.
I was very close to asking that question post-game, but I was like, you know what? I think we already got good material with that other question that was asked about his dunk, and he just gave a literal interpretation.
Was that the most Kawhi answer to a question
of
ever?
All time?
I jumped really high.
I took two steps.
Two steps.
Not
not three.
Not three.
Not one.
He knew exactly the number.
Knew how many steps.
And so,
all right,
after
so
that, I didn't need to ask.
Boston coach Mayor Pete Buttigieg costs them the game with that tee, right?
I mean, I don't know if you could say that costs them that tee. Because
then
mean, at the
same, they win by one if he doesn't do it.
They win by one, but at the same time, you could say like the Clippers had like eight unforced turnovers, like especially one where they threw the ball to Mo Harkless and his hands weren't even up.
Mo Harkless on the show tonight, folks. Mo Harkless on the show. I interviewed him. I asked him more beards in Portland or Los Angeles, and the answer will not surprise
you. Sounds like a bro Harkless question. It's not Mo Harkless question.
It was definitely a bro Harkless question.
It's pretty cool, you know, to have other guys who are pretty much lockdown defenders playing beside me. You know, you got help. You know, it's just, you know, I think we could be really good defensively with the guys we have. It's probably going to take a little bit of time, but, you know, that's the beauty of this basketball. You know, we found a way tonight to make it work while we're figuring it out. And that's huge. That shows us how good we could be, you know, to be a team like Boston coming in hot and doing it the way we did, I think was great.
Friday night you got Harden and Westbrook. How are you going to prep for that?
I mean, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where you got to limit them in transition. It's a lot of iso ball with James. You got to be ready for that. You got to be ready to guard, move your feet. You know, they're two great players again. You know, we just got to try to keep Russell out the paint, try to just make it hard on James, make him uncomfortable as well.
Can you compare the home cooking of Staples Center versus your days in Portland at the Rose Garden or whatever they call it?
The Moda Center.
I mean, in Portland, the fans were great. It was a tremendous place to play. I think it's one of the tougher places to play in the league. But here, I mean, tonight was amazing. I think tonight was an example of how good it could be here. And hopefully that can continue. The fans were great when they were into the game. I feel like it was a lot of Boston fans here, but
so many transplants here.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's natural when you're living in a place like LA. So, but I think the fans were great tonight. Hopefully it can continue.
My favorite thing of the Moda Center is the hustle board. Can you tell my listeners about what the hustle board is?
Oh,
we need one here.
It's like this. I think offensive rebounds, steals, blocks, and I think that's what's up there. And that's pretty cool. You know, it's stats that aren't normally, you know, tracked on jumbotrons and stuff like that. So it's one of those things you could just see, you know, who's playing harder.
And more beards in LA or Portland?
In Portland, for sure. A lot
thanks,
more beards
Mo.
In Portland.
Thank you, bro. One of the great locker room interviews. I'm pretty darn good at this. Anyway, Friday night, the can't miss game of the season so far. If you missed the overtime slobber knocker, the nail biter, where we came back from down and beat the Eastern Conference toppers, Doc Rivers is his old Boston Celtics. Anyway, Friday night, revenge, grudge match, Houston Rockets, who beat us. But they beat Kawhi without Paul George. Kawhi is 7-2 without Paul George. Paul George, I think he went like, what, 2-1 without Kawhi. But anyway, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard undefeated, and they're putting that on the line. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard together, undefeated. Friday night, Houston Rockets, Russell Westbrook, Harden, come to town. Make sure you got the seats for the game with Vivid Seats. And I'm here in the Vivid Seats studio. I could barely speak. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for the events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. All in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now is a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. Vivid Seats rewards. You're automatically joined into Vivid Seats rewards just by getting that app, buying your tickets, keep buying tickets, and all of a sudden you get free tickets. Okay, so look, when it's time to buy, new users enter promo code OVERTIME, all caps, all one word, OVERTIME at checkout, receive a discount of up to $100. So I will see you at the game, thanks to the nice folks at Vivid Seats. Now let's go back to more Chris Wilde and Farbod Esnashari Farbod.
But I mean, there were so many of those that, like, you can't pin it directly on a tee. I mean, granted, it was a costly tee.
Yes.
But to get to that point, the Clippers had to mess up a lot.
But of all the coaches to get a tee, like, Mayor Pete or whatever his name is, never loses his cool, that guy. Doc loses his cool. Doc gets thrown out.
He could have done it because one of his players wanted to, and he wanted to get it for him.
Dodge the bullet kind
of
thing.
Yeah, possibly.
Haas.
Because that's always a thing sometimes. But I think he might have said something. I don't know.
First OT of the Clippers season. Certainly, obviously, the first OT win. Is that the best win of this young season?
I thought that was the best game this season out of any team, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the last 6 minutes in overtime were crazy.
Amazing.
I mean, I thought it was over when Lou hit that three.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then
it's a two-possession
game.
And
then Paul George got dropped. Oh. And then it went again, and then we had another chance. Yep. It was just back and forth, big shot, big shot, big shot, big shot. And it was just cool to me to see Pat and Lou be the guys to make the
Pat Beverly making threes, which he hasn't. He did it last game. He went 4-for-7, but tonight he made the ones that count in OT.
I mean, he's kind of like a rinse and repeat of last year, because last year he started really cold.
Yes, he did.
And this year he shooting 18% just last going into last game. He's shooting 18% on the season. So now he's getting his due. So I think it's pretty similar to last year.
All right, talk to me about Friday night. Houston's coming in this building that we are out for blood, retribution, revenge from the sloppy loss in Houston, yeah.
I think the only way the Clippers win that game is if they are just offensively clicking, because I don't think they win that game with 20-something turnovers.
Oh, absolutely not.
Unless somehow Westbrook gets 4 fouls in the first half again, or James gets 4 fouls in the first half.
I'm hoping we see Atlanta-like offense. Not like the team Atlanta, but like the 49-point W.
I mean, I don't believe Houston's anywhere near as good of a defensive team as Boston.
Of course not.
So I think the Clippers should have, you know, a shot of just going crazy offensively.
Are we going to see the same starting five Friday that we saw tonight?
I think so. I don't think they changed Mo Harkless out.
And how sweet was that murderer's row of Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Pat Beverly, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George playing late, entire overtime. I mean, that's why we're paying the big bucks to be in the building, right?
I mean, this game, it's funny because you didn't get Kawhi for a week.
I know.
And then when you had him today, it was like, well, damn, that was worth the money.
Oh,
like,
dude, the dunk and the block to win. And defense won the game.
Yeah.
Kawhi's defense.
It's crazy because I think every single Clipper game except two, the Warriors game and the Hawks game, has just been this stressful,
grind it out. Come from behind
wins.
Yeah,
every game. It's like, oh, you're down 10 with 6 minutes left.
Down 10.
And you're like, I guess we're going to lose.
We were down 7 with 2 minutes and change.
Yeah. So
I can't take this far.
They just win with defense every game this year, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Not as crazy as doing this interview just center court with a bunch of people working around us.
We'll be right back with more Farbod, some Paul George, and more Kawhi after this. Here comes a commercial. Probably so, like, you know, get ready to bring the volume down. I wish I could fix this. I asked overtime to work on it. Anyway, so, like, I don't know. Get ready to ride the volume in 3, 2, 1.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We're back. Let's hear from Paul George. Everybody adjust the volume thing. I'm sorry they have to do that. It's embarrassing. I have such bro CD about AV stuff, but these commercials just come in so hot and they help pay the bills. So deal with it. Anyway, here he is, Paul George, on his thoughts about he and Kawhi premiering together for the first time as Clippers. Paul George, how'd you think y'all did together, you and Kawhi? What'd you think?
I thought it was good. You know, I thought defensively, that came natural, that came easy. And then offensively, I thought we were great. I thought we are still trying to get in sync with everybody else. Great thing about myself and Kawhi, you know, it doesn't matter. We're going to play basketball. We're going to, you know, try to make the right plays and play off one another and just keep the game flowing. So, I thought in that aspect, we were good.
Okay. What do you think, Mr. Paul George, number 3 in the MVP votes, of your coach, champion coach, Doc Rivers? I believe his first name is Glenn.
I mean, Doc is just phenomenal. from play calling to kind of just being a father figure, that type of relationship, where he brings outside stuff that's going on to us and kind of, you know, elaborates on what's going on around the world. And I think just the relationship with him and allowing us to be ourselves, allowing us to bring what we bring to the game without losing what the big goal is what you want out of a coach. He's not here and doesn't want to change anybody's game. He just wants everything to tie in together.
Speaking of Doc Rivers, he said that the game ball last night in the overtime thriller where the Clippers beat the Celtics went to Mr. Patrick Beverley, Mr. 94 feet, Clipcast's Twitter header. This is Pat Beverley. I love Pat Beverley. He's a junkyard dog. But enough about what I think about Pat Beverley. Let's hear what Paul George, PG-13, thinks about Patrick Beverley and his performance last night.
I mean, you saw 16 rebounds.
Oh, so clutch.
I mean, he probably hit three big threes in a row. I mean, that's Pat. That's Pat. Pat is a winner. He makes winning plays. And you saw every version of that tonight.
We finally saw the five, the murderer's row of Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Pat Beverley, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. Paul, tell me about that experience.
It was fun. It was fun. You know, it was fun to see what this team would look like on the defensive end. And then offensively, it was fun to see how we could play off each other. I mean, fact of the matter is we're going to have growing pains. And I think the most positive thing about this team was we understood that, you know, nobody was pointing fingers. Nobody was, you know, dropping their heads in huddles. Nobody was, you know, at no point was this team ever dysfunctional. We understand and we understood we're going to have growing pains. We're going to make mistakes. It's not going to be pretty right now. But I think what you saw is a team that's, whatever the case may be, we're going to find a way to win.
All right, more Paul George, more Farbod, more Kawhi after this, our final commercial. Get ready to ride that volume dial because they come in so hot in 3, 2, 1. We're back. Oh, my God, my voice is, like, so shot. I really screamed my stupid face off because there was such an uppity Celtics fan who's just like, every time they scored a basket, stood up and waved his dumb jacket in the air like he had anything to do with it. And he was wearing his dumb Kelly Green visor and his stupid Paul Pierce jersey. Anyway, and then every time the Clippers were on defense and we're all shouting defense, there was some Celtics fan next to me chanting offense, which is so lame. Anyway, what's not lame is guest co-host Farbod asking Paul George. Well, let's just let Farbod and Paul George take it from here.
Hey, Paul, what's it like having a team so deep where the fifth and sixth men like Pat and Lou can make all the plays in crunch time too?
It's great. And then you got, again, two guys that understand who has the hot hand. I don't care about who gets shots. Kawhi don't care about who gets shots. We're both willing passers. And, you know, we need everybody. This is not a two-headed monster. We need everybody and you know, I'm not afraid and I'm not scared to say I'll lean on those guys on a nightly basis.
Okay, here comes Paul George's greatest moment on the show. Paul, talk to me about the fact that you played a ton of minutes. You went way over your minutes restriction last night in the overtime W.
Load management definitely wasn't in effect tonight. but no, it's great. You know, this is preseason. You know, for me in terms of my conditioning and getting up to speed and playing at this level, you know, I was a little winded tonight, but I thought as the game went on, my wind was getting better and better. And, you know, it felt good, you know, when I got up to 37 and playing down the stretch, I felt good. But that's all it's going to take is just me getting it up there, me exposing my wind and, you know, tiring myself out to get it up there and get comfortable playing 30 a night.
Thanks for hanging out with me, guys. A special emergency overtime Clipcast. Appreciate y'all. We heard from Kawhi Leonard, and it was fantastic. We heard from guest co-host Farbod. Let's get a little more before I let you guys go. Let's get a little more from Kawhi Leonard and then from Farbod. Let's talk to the NBA Finals two-time MVP, our guy. I'm Chris Kawhild, but enough of Chris Kawhild. Let's hear from Kawhi Leonard, please. And his thoughts on Patrick Beverly. Fascinating.
I mean, you know, from, you know, past experiences playing against him, just a real aggressive player on the defensive end, you know, on the floor, trying to talk, make you get, you know, technical fouls, just trying to get in your head pretty much throughout the game, playing good defense. And, you know, it's pretty much now, you know, just being on team with him, you see the background. You know, what he does day in and day out. Get to know him a little bit better, know his mindset, how he feels coming into games and, you know, what challenges he has for himself. You know, you've seen what happened tonight. He made big shots, got some steals early in that fourth quarter, middle of the fourth, and got us some easy points. So
you can really see Pop's influence on Kawhi because I've been in a handful of press conferences with Pop, and especially in the postseason. And if you ask some, you know, basic question, some basic Betty Botch questions, he'll just be like, "That was the dumbest question I ever heard," and then he'll answer it like real simple. So Kawhi is definitely a student of the Pop school of press conferences, and that's why he had the amazing dunk and block. Answer to that question, which I think I'll probably play again. But let's listen to more Kawhi Leonard about what he thought about him and Paul George finally being together on the court and, you know, what we can see next from these two living legends.
It's pretty much just finding each other's spots and knowing, knowing the plays, you know what I mean? It's still tough, you know, we're both on kind of minute restriction. And so it was hard to get a flow, but just plays, just knowing the plays, knowing each other's spots, and then the language on a defensive end, and it's just repetition. That's what we need right now.
We saw glimpses of this special squad that we've all been waiting on the edge of our seats for. Kawhi, is this what you thought it was going to be? With this group of guys, what they did to the Warriors in the first round, add you, add Paul George, was this, you know, was this it?
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, it's a basketball game. You know, this is what it came down to tonight, grinding it out, you know, thinking about the next possession. And, you know, just coming here, just, I mean, I said it before, just felt like everybody, you know, bought into a plan. Doc was a good coach, and they had a good front office. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect in the games. You know, I wanted to win, and, you know, we did that tonight. So I guess that's a little bit of me envisioning that. I think we're still learning. We're still learning each other. I was out for like a week, you know, due to a knee contusion, and it's just going to be reps. We got to play. We just got to keep playing, pretty much. I feel like we have a lot to, you know, improve at. You know, I definitely don't think we're going to be this type of offensive team like we were tonight or in the past. You know, I think it's just practice and playing these games.
Okay, so here comes Kawhi Leonard's greatest hits. I mean, this is one of the great answers of all time about the dunk and the block. Not the Duncan-like block, Tim Duncan, too soon. I don't want to talk about the SAS word. But Kawhi Leonard's answer about the dunk and the block and what was going through his mind. Oh, my gosh. This is classic Kawhi.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to say the same thing you said before, but just again, you're the best.
Patrick threw me the ball. I took two dribbles to the paint and tried to jump high and dunk the basketball.
That's amazing.
And Kemba got open for a three, and I jumped to my highest to try to contest, and I got a block.
He got a block. The good guys got the win. 10-5 Clippers, top four in the West. I don't know, top 10 in the NBA, certainly top eight at least. I don't know. I'm not going to look it up right now. You can look it up. You got the internet. All right, so let's wrap up the show and go back to center court with the great Farbod Forbesbod, who scooped everybody with the big story from Cub reporter Avicii Aguzubak. Anyway, let's get more of Farbod and ramp the show down, this wonderful emergency clip cast. I am so exhausted, I can barely speak, so let's just wrap it all up. Love you guys. Well, thank you for your time, Farbod. Everybody follow Farbod on Twitter. We always retweet him. We love him. We're going to post a picture of us on the center court logo and post it as well.
We're doing a video.
We're doing a video.
Oh, no, wait. This is a podcast.
This is multifaceted media.
It's Courtcast.
Courtcast, baby. All right, thanks, Farbod.
No worries.
Do you want to sound the horn? You get to sound the horn as my guest. You just say sound the horn. You can make this horn sound effect.
And
pam, 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 pam.